Welcome to the Beyond Sunday at WMPC podcast. Today, you'll hear from Pastor Christopher Edmondson and Kalisha Stanford, Chief Executive Officer of Step Up Ministry, as they discuss how even in hard times, Christians are called to live for the hope of it all. So grab your cardigan, pull up a chair, and listen in as Christopher and Kalisha discuss Christian hope and how it's different from wishful thinking or mere optimism.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to White Memorial Presbyterian and our fall podcast series, Are You Ready For It? This fall, we're taking Taylor Swift song titles, and we are seeing which ones have some connection to the Christian faith, and maybe even to the way Presbyterians sort of offer our version of church and Christianity to the world, and using those song titles to inspire us. So, for example, we recently recorded a podcast called Bad Blood, which was about forgiveness and reconciliation, like what do Christians believe about people making amends and coming together. And today our podcast is titled To Live for the Hope of It All. Now, I did know the Taylor Swift song Bad Blood, so I did know that, but I didn't know where this one was from, and it's actually not a song title. So if you're looking for this and you love Taylor Swift, it's in a song called August, and it's part of The Bridge. And it's about living for the hope of a relationship that she had to come back. Which, if you know Taylor Swift, like, big shocker, she was longing for a relationship, right? But anyway, I'm Christopher Edmondson. I'm the pastor here at White Memorial. And I'm joined today by Kalisha Stanford, which makes me the luckiest person in Raleigh. Kalisha is the brilliant, fantastic, accomplished leader of Step Up Ministries. And Kalisha, will you take this first little bit and tell us what you do there? Because I want them to hear your voice, how long you've been there, and also just assuming that someone's never heard about Step Up before, like the 2 or 3 minute elevator speech, like what do we need to know about Step Up?
All right.
And you?
Well, I'm Kalisha Stanford, and I've had the honor and privilege of serving Step Up Ministry for 17 years. That is a long time. And we're in the business of supporting individuals reaching their highest goals and really accomplishing their dreams. And it's really an incredible place. We serve participants through three really powerful steps. The first step is our Employment Academy, where we help individuals find stable employment. We believe that true stability comes when you have stable employment. So we vet employers in the community to eliminate those barriers to make it easier for people to find employment. And also employers reach out to us when they're looking for employees, because we train individuals with resume writing, mock interviews, dress to impress for the jobs as well, so that people are comfortable. So it's really a win-win there. And once individuals obtain stable employment, they're able to come through our Empower 48 program. And that is one year of transformational programming, where participants come in, they learn about who they are, and they set goals for an entire year. The secret sauce is participants are paired with a volunteer co-partner and a case manager who locks arms with them and partners with them, walks with them through the entire journey for an entire year. And then we have a graduation ceremony where participants are celebrated with their families and their friends, and they come in and they are loved. They're loved in an even deeper capacity.
It's unreal. It's so much joy there. That's fantastic. Step Up, for again, people that don't know well, is sort of White Memorial's most important mission partner in the city of Raleigh or in Wake County. It is so successful, y'all that are listening, that there are Step Up knockoffs or copycats in Durham and Greensboro. Sister locations, that's what we call it, sister locations in Durham and Greensboro and one in Wilmington. Mm-hmm. And it is just a transformational thing. Mm-hmm. I say that little M miracles happen there. It's not Jesus walking on the water, but it's people who have had no opportunity in life, or have had not had an opportunity in years, or have had opportunity taken away. Maybe someone in their life hurt them very deeply. Maybe it's their own mistakes. There's lots of reasons why people need help, but that doesn't, when they finish with Step Up, that's no longer the narrative of their life.
That's right.
They've got a new story to tell, and that it's transformational. And in my 30 years of ministry, that I've been doing now since I haven't worked in anything but a church since 1995. Mm-hmm. But I've never seen anything that's got the power to change lives like Step Up. And I will tell you, as the pastor of a lot of those volunteers and those mentors, it changes the mentor's life too.
It does. It works both ways.
It works. It's a two-way street. But God's like that. Agreed. You know, love is like that. True friendship and companionship is like that. So, Kalisha, we're here to talk today about the phrase to live for the hope of it all. And we're here to talk a little bit about what we think about hope. You are a woman of profound and deep faith. I like to think that I'm a man of deep and real faith. So when I ask you the question, what does Christian hope mean to you? What's something that comes to your mind?
I think belief that God is already moving. And I think believing that God is always present, right? Even those moments where you're down and you're frustrated, you can't feel or see, just remembering and knowing that he's always present, always active.
So even you just got to, like, if you will hold on, because God is out there working on your behalf.
That's right. Absolutely believe that.
Even if you don't know it.
Even if you don't know it, you don't feel it, you don't see it, God is ever present. I believe that wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Yeah, you told me that before, versions like it before. Mm-hmm. In your time at Step Up, because you've had a couple different jobs there. You haven't been the CEO for all 17 years.
No.
But,
yeah.
But what role do you think hope has played in the life of the Step Up participants, the people that come and say, I need a hand up right now. I need somebody to help pull me, you know, into a new place in my life. How powerful is hope in that context?
It is. It's extremely powerful. And I think having people to walk alongside of you believe the same thing is just reassuring. And having case managers and volunteers, again, link arms with participants to help them remember the goal, remember the hard times. And, you know, we all go through difficult times, but that hope is part of the journey, right? It's part of, you know, moving forward. And I think remembering, again, that God is there and ever-present is really powerful, especially at Step Up. When we see people come in a very vulnerable state, you know, the hope is really not there. It's not really present. But watching them change and grow and really start to believe in themselves and believe and see that there's a different possibility for them is really powerful.
Yeah, I never worked in Step Up, but I did in my first job working downtown Charlotte. And part of that was I was on the board of the Urban Ministry Center, and I actually was required, because the Urban Ministry Center, which was like our urban ministries at Raleigh, it was essentially a place where a homeless person or an unhomed person could, you know, we called them neighbors, our homeless neighbors, but could take a shower, you know, get up, get a warm meal. I worked in the counseling part, and we would upstairs there help people with, you know, ID. And I don't think people that have never not had identification realize what a crisis it is.
Absolutely.
If you don't, you know, can't get a job. You can't.
That's true.
Get a hotel room. You can't
you
do anything.
Have it,
you have to have ID. Mm-hmm. You know, and some of these folks hadn't had ID in years. So I did a lot of that, trying to navigate them through that, get them a social caseworker. And what I saw was that in order to move those folks, and I think this would be true of some of the people at Step Up, because, again, they're vulnerable when they come, when they start. Mm-hmm. But to move them from a state of hopelessness to a place of hopefulness, right, takes a powerful trust in God.
It does.
You know, you have to believe that your God or your Savior is bigger than my problem, right, or bigger than my challenges. And the only people that I saw get off the streets were the ones that had that.
Wow.
You know, and we weren't, you know, because their challenges there were, you know, no ID, mental illness. I mean, all the things that lead to someone, you know, being down and out and coming to, you know, the Urban Ministry Center to take a shower, not going to their own shower or like a relative's house. Yeah. Is there a story or anything that you could think of a time where you, and you don't have to use names, but just somebody that touched your heart and your work where they were in a place of hopelessness, and by the time they left, they were just shining because of their hard work and what God had done.
Oh, my goodness. I could tell you stories upon Oh, my goodness. I think one of the warmest and closest stories to my heart is about a mother and a child. And she was going through a lot of reconciliation issues, and the courts were involved, you know, the ex-husband was involved. There was a lot of people kind of pulling her and telling her that we're not quite sure this is going to happen for you and your child. And I remember her coming through Step Up looking for hope, looking yep. for resources, looking for connections. So I remember our case managers partnered with Wake County. We asked all the questions. We got some attorneys involved. And just seeing her light up inside, like, this could really be a possibility for me to be reunited with my child.
Wow.
And I'm trying to get emotional thinking about yeah, it, yeah. but I just remember her face. And I remember the moment when the light came on and she was like, God, I need you. I need you to show up. You brought me to Step Up Ministry. You brought me to this place where there are people who really care, who are really trying to remove barriers so that this can happen. And not even a year later, she was reunited with her child. And they're flourishing. Like, I've been there 17 years, and I get to stay in contact with them.
Right.
And to see that relationship, that bond, knowing that Step Up was a part of that, they allowed us to be a part of that, was just, it's incredible. So
I was watching one of my favorite TV shows. It's crazy, but it comes on the SEC network, and it's called True South. And it's a guy named John T. Edge, who's runs one of the institutes at the University of Mississippi. And it's really seeing the way Southern food interconnects and interacts, right, with different people, and sort of telling true stories about the true South. So sometimes it'll be like a taqueria at a gas station in rural Georgia, and other times it's the best restaurants in New Orleans or Charleston, and sometimes it's barbecue joints in the middle of nowhere. It's immigrants and black folks and white folks, and just, you know, all this great stuff. And on one of the episodes, I believe, and I hope I'm not getting my shows mixed up, but it also connected to a halfway house for women who were coming out of prison and out of drug addiction. And the one thing that all the women had in common there was that they had lost ability by law. Right. Their kids were in foster care
right.
because of all the trouble that they had had in their previous life. And to a woman, every one of them had the goal of, I'm making myself
That's right.
clean.
That's right.
I'm going right. to get a job because this little halfway house in rural wherever would help them find jobs. And it's all to get my child back. And I can't, I'm not a mother, I'm a father. Obviously you're a mother, but I can't imagine how desperate you would feel if you're a mom, and how badly you would need to hope that someday somebody will help me.
That's right.
Someday I'll be able to, you know, be with my children again. Yes. So I thank God that y'all helped her reunite our family.
We
That's
thank
beautiful.
God as well.
One of the things that I think that we want to say as pastors always, because we don't want everybody to go out there in the world and just be on a wing and a prayer, you know, like I'm going to go and improve myself, or my circumstances are going to change, and I'm going to sit right here in this chair until they do. You know, it's like I prayed to God, you know, to get an A on the test, but I didn't study for the test, and so I didn't get an A. I'm not going to believe in God now.
Right.
So we never want to tell people that hope is something as trite as just keep your chin up.
That's right.
The sun will come out tomorrow, you know, so you got to just hang on one more day, right? We don't want that. And we don't want people to get the idea that that success or the object of what you're hoping for ever comes easy.
That's true.
You know, I told you before we recorded this that I thought that the bread and butter, the bones of Step Up Ministry, is the hard work of the participants.
100%.
You know, but also I think that the seasoning, what makes the dish good, is the hope. Mm-hmm. How hard do they work?
My goodness.
And do any of them ever quit, and you got to go, or want to quit, and you got to go build them back up?
Yeah, like, it's a combination. It really depends on where people start in the program, but they work absolutely hard. And, you know, we're asking people to really drop those walls and really trust the process. And you're having to put away old ways of thinking, old beliefs, all the things behind you to start over. And that's scary. That's really scary. So we do see people who push through, and then life happens. Maybe something happens with their job, and they need need to start over. But we've seen people come to 3 and 4 times and then finally graduate. And
finally get it done.
And then when it happens, they're just like, they're elated because they prove to themselves that they can do it with hard work, right? And you have some people who come through and they just need the support and the resources and the guidance, and then they just thrive. They take off and they're thriving. So much so that when they're stable, they come back to volunteer at Step Up and pour back into the community that supported them. So.
Yeah, what's that old phrase, each one teach one?
Right.
Did you ever hear that?
Yeah.
I heard that growing up all the time, each one teach one. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure who came up with that. But I do remember people saying that. I do remember that really well. When I was at Davidson College, as a student, there was a program there at the time that ironically a lawsuit put it to death, like it doesn't exist anymore because of a lawsuit that was filed somewhere here in North Carolina, but it was called Love of Learning, and it was to help people be raised up, and it was for black children, school children. We said African American at the time. I never know what the vogue is anymore, but African American students in Charlotte Mecklenburg schools who no one in their family had ever been to college. And they would come to Davidson for 4 summers, for like 3 weeks in the summer, and it was like academic and life skills boot camp.
Oh, wow.
It was like, so, and they hired me to be a counselor 2 summers. And I think that's where I first heard each one teach one, maybe it was my mentor, Brenda Tapia, so the Reverend Brenda Tapia. And she would have those children singing the song, Beauty Am I, Spirit Am I am infinite within my soul. I can find no beginning. I can find no end. All this I am. We just sing that over and over again, and pouring every bit of hope we could into those children. And now they are they're lawyers. They're school principals. You know, because of that, and because of love of learning. Like, because being a white man, I was a minority in that community for the summer, right?
Sure.
And I learned so much about a culture that I got a window in. They took me up to A&T for my first step show.
First step show.
I'd never been to one before, you know? So I learned so much. And I think it's whenever we place ourselves close to something that is trying to proclaim the hope that God provides, that is trying to pour hope into other people, our own hearts are lifted. Do you think that's as true as I do? I think that's very true.
That's very true. It works both ways for sure.
It's got to, right? You know, and so, you know, because there was no proof that any of these kids would get to college at all, or we've got, but I think the success rate was like in the 80%. I think it was huge.
That's incredible.
But hope was part of it.
Wow.
Hope was part of it every day. And I think, too, as a pastor, I want to say that it's okay to feel hopeless sometimes.
It's a real feeling.
You know, it is a real feeling because bad things happen to folks. You know, and you know, I always say that, you know, you don't have to feel the hope right now, but you've got to believe that you can feel it again. You know, maybe that takes us back to where you began, saying that hope for you was knowing that God was working on your behalf somewhere, even if you couldn't see it.
Yes.
Absolutely. One of the, we believe, you know, is that God is the God who gives life to the world. And we say in the church that Jesus understands something of our suffering because he suffered as well.
That's right.
You know, I think some people might say that at least the human part of Jesus, when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me on the cross? That may be, you know, almost a hopeless moment there.
That's interesting. Yeah.
It's hard to, it's hard for me to say with 100% certainty that Jesus had a hopeless moment. But if he ever did, that certainly must have been it, you know, because to feel forsaken by God, ooh.
Right.
Do you want to have that? No. I don't want to have that.
My goodness, never.
I don't want to have that at all. And so, you know, God knows something about our suffering and maybe even knows something about what it feels like to be hopeless. And yet it's that same God who's going to renew us by the Holy Spirit. And even though hope isn't listed as one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, it's a different list. It still shows up in Scripture over and over again. And I'm putting you on the spot here, but do you have a favorite Bible verse where hope is part of it, or Bible story where hope is in it?
I don't really have a favorite one. I love the Lion's Den, right? You have to believe that you're going to. That is hope in the making, right? Like, you have to believe that it's possible and, like, you will survive and you will move. Again, similar to Step Up and Participants, right? Like, you might feel like you're in that lion's den, but, you know, hope is God will prevail.
Everybody's trying to eat you, and you're the only food.
Right.
Yeah, the oven's like that, too. That's in Daniel, too, right? Meshrat, Shadrach, and Abednego, right?
Yeah.
They're in the oven with Daniel. Yeah, that's a powerful part of the Bible. I see like Jeremiah 29:11 a lot of places.
Oh, yeah.
For surely I know the plans I have for you, to give you a future with hope.
Yes.
And that's sort of that phrase that I don't know if it was President Obama or one of the other ones came up with that phrase, the audacity of hope. Maybe Oprah. I can't remember, but one of those sort of famous people from that time period in our country came up with that phrase. And that Jeremiah 29 is really an amazing text. In fact, we're going to have a sermon on Jeremiah 29 at White Memorial this fall that Judy Syker is going to preach. And so the whole staff was reviewing it the other morning. And the way it sets up is the Israelites have been defeated by the Babylonians.
Mm.
And when you hear the phrase Babylonian exile, this is what it comes from. And then the Babylonians, when they defeated you, they picked you up and moved you away from your home because you were much less likely to cause riots, right?
Sure, when you're,
and burn things down or continue to be a problem like guerrilla warfare if you were dislocated.
Sure.
You know, and we know that because you and I know people that are dislocated by storms,
right?
You know, fire, economy, right? This is part of what we learn about in church.
Right.
And so when Jeremiah writes that to the people of Israel who are exiled in Babylon, he is calling them to hope for something that they cannot see because they were there a long time. In fact, Jeremiah 29, 7 or 9, one of those verses in there says, here's what you're going to do. You're not going to get home right now. You are going to plant gardens. You're going to have your sons and daughters marry and have children. And you're going to make a way in this place. You're going to take this horrible thing that's happened to you, and you're going to be faithful to God. You're going to be faithful to God, and you are going to make a new life here. And then Jeremiah says, and this is what God says, I wouldn't let this happen to you, right? And let you be alone, right? Because I have made for you a future with hope.
Right.
Isn't that incredible?
That is powerful.
It is something else. I think it's really, really amazing. Has there ever been a time in your life when you felt hopeless or like you were exiled? And and you can say pass because that's a personal question.
No, I'll say, you know, I've shared a lot openly about my upbringing, and, you know, I was raised by a single Black father, and my mother left when I was very young. And unfortunately, I haven't seen her since. And I think growing up, you know, I felt those moments of I'm missing out and what is it like? But again, just knowing that I am going to be okay. God has always had his hands on me. And looking after, you know, different women I want to model myself after, and having some mentors along the way, I think I started to realize that there's really power in people and power in mentorship. But it was a lonely time. You know, I felt really, you know, estranged, and I felt like, you know, did I do something as a child? And, you know, but I think growing up realizing that, you know, things happen for a reason, and I think God intervenes when he needs to, right? So, yeah.
Do you think that made you a different mother than you would have been had that not happened to you, or a stronger mother?
100%. And I think that's probably why I pride myself in being such a wonderful mother, and then applauding mothers who, you know, either have a struggle or, you know, have some self-doubt there, because it's possible. You know, it's possible to be the best mother that you possibly can be. I think so.
Yeah, I often say that the hardest job in America is working mom.
Hard.
I think it's working single mom is probably the hardest job in America. It doesn't matter if you are, you know, like I need a haircut right now. So it doesn't matter if you're cutting hair or running Step Up. I think it's a hard job to be a working mother, for sure.
It is.
When I think about my kids, I think I've got certain hopes for them, you know. Do you feel that way? Like, is it good to sort of place your hopes in other people?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And it's good. I want my children to know that I have hopes for them. And, like, you know, I want them to be involved in their communities, and I want them to be good people. And, you know, I want them to aspire to be wonderful humans. So I think it's okay to put hopes in other people, and for people to know that you believe in them, right? And, like, you're counting on them. I think God calls us to be in community with people, and it's okay to lean on other people.
Yeah, I remember there was a quote by Steve Jobs, who's the founder of Apple, or one of the two guys that founded Apple. And I think it was, I think when you read about him and when you hear what his friends say about him now after he has, you know, passed away, is I think he was a very complex, at times difficult man. And he would say, you know, we are born utterly alone in this world. I think it's the way he was raised. And I remember hearing that and being heartbroken for him. I mean, it just tugged at my pastor's heart. Nobody's born alone. Like, you have a mother somewhere that worked real hard to get you into this. Real hard to get you into this world. And there was probably a midwife or a doctor or some nurses there and that held you and checked you out from your first breath. You know, we're not born alone. We don't learn how to walk alone, talk alone. Like, once you learn how to read, you can't look at a word and not read it. Like, you can't make your mind not read it. It's innate. Somebody taught us that. We weren't born that way. Some teacher held our hand while we learned our ABCs, you know? And I just think about how all of us might be ultimately the product of communities where that kind of hopefulness is poured into us with abundance.
I agree.
Almost like wasteful hope, you know, sometimes. And I'd rather have that than hopelessness.
Me too.
Wouldn't you?
Me too.
I think that's kind of the way the Lord wants it. You know, sort of that whole thing on, in terms of back to a real faith expression, that God has made the world and redeemed it. And it's our job to hope on Jesus while the world is being transformed by his grace. I think each and every day that's kind of what we are called to do. I found this quote, or actually somebody sent me this quote from Martin Luther King, you know, and it's, you know, it talks about vision and it talks about imagination. It talks about that, what can yet come to be. It talks about that, not yet, but not never, you know, not yet, but not never. I say that, people, when they ask me, does God answer prayers? And I'm like, God does answer prayers, but there's three answers. Yes, no, and not yet. Like, you got to know that.
That's true.
That just because you didn't get what you want doesn't mean that God stopped being God. But that quote from that famous I Have a Dream speech, I say to you, my friends, that even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, knowing that we will be free one day. I have that dream today. Yeah.
Powerful.
Not yet, but stay with it.
Right.
Stay with it.
Same thing we say at Step Up every day.
When
participants walk through the door, stay with it. Hang in there. Keep moving. Keep praying. Keep going forward.
Did y'all ever talk to him about the extra mile? Like, you got to go the extra mile.
Oh,
Jesus
yes.
talks about that.
Song. Yes, absolutely. And they talk to us about it, right?
Yeah.
It depends on the day. All the things that, you know, they had to overcome just to even make it to the next day. So lots of that believing and moving forward.
Yeah. I think I'm at that point in my life where I'm starting to forget some of the things about Jesus that I once knew. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that, but I do think, you know, that he fully embodied hope in his person. I do believe that. You know, I think John the Baptist, when he baptizes Jesus and, you know, tells people, you know, they ask him, are you the Messiah? That's because they think John the Baptist is the Messiah. And he's like, no, it's the one who's coming after me. And that's why whenever you see pictures of John the Baptist and sort of ancient art or medieval art, he's always pointing to Jesus. It's always pointing that way as the object of what hope should look like. And I think that's really true for Christian people. That's true for all of us, that we hope on Jesus and maybe even allow him to fill our hearts with a hope that only he can provide until we get to that, you know, that sort of that place or that station in life where there's some stability, you know, or a greater understanding, a final, you know, bit of knowledge that, that I have arrived at the place where God has intended me to be kind of all along. As we sort of think about wrapping up, do you think that something like Step Up is possible without faith and hope? I mean, I would argue, like I said, I think it's the seasoning of the gumbo or the seasoning of the stew. Mm-hmm. But do you think it's even possible that Step Up, you know, wasn't at least on some level in ministry, if it was just another program? Do you think, you know, do you think it would work like it does?
I don't think so, personally. We've existed for 36 years for a reason, and we know that God has always had a hand on us and through us and moving us forward, and it's just baked into who we are, and we have to believe and know that God is, again, he's ever present. I personally don't think it's possible. It's who we are. That's who we are.
Isaiah 40, verse 41. It's interesting, depending on the English translation, some say wait and some say hope, which is maybe a topic for another podcast, because the Spanish word for waiting and hoping is the same word. In Spanish, it's the exact same word. So some translations say wait and hope. But Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, but those who hope on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run, and not be weary. They shall walk, and they shall not faint. Those who hope for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles.
Powerful.
I've read that at a hundred funerals. You know, and I think, you know, that's something as Christian people, it's not just about hope for this life, it's hope for the next.
That's right.
And we like to proclaim that hope that we find in Jesus for the gift of salvation. And we like to proclaim it right in the time when people are closest to death, because people need to be reminded of that.
Absolutely.
Right. If not, life would be too scary.
Sure.
I'd be terrified for sure. Kalisha, thanks for helping us think about hope today. For those of you all that want to hear the Taylor Swift songs, it's called August.
All right.
It's for the hope of it all. And I think, you know, Kalisha, we've loved having you, your testimony about Step Up.
Thank you.
And about the hopefulness that your participants and volunteers feel is something that our listeners are not going to soon forget. And folks, if you want to know more about Step Up Ministry, they got a volunteer hotline. All you got to do is call over there, and they will give you a job. Because it's not just the adults either, because a lot of those adults are those kind of single moms or parents. I bet sometimes even single dads like you had, right?
We have the whole
gamut.
And so
while they're in their classrooms in that Empower 48, the children are doing study hall and playing games. Like, so you can volunteer with children, youth,
serve a meal.
Young adults serve a meal, yes. Be a mentor, be a co-partner. And it really will. It'll touch your heart and change your life. And if you want to see hope alive in Raleigh, North Carolina, come to White Memorial on a Tuesday night.
And be transformed.
God bless you, my friend.
Thank you, Christopher.
And thank you all for listening.